Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about how to balance yourself emotionally as a parent. It's so important. Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent. And today, we have a special guest, Christina Moise. And she is the founder of Refresh Your Mind. She guides parents to overcome anxiety and become emotionally balanced to be better parents. So I'm very excited to have her on today. Thank you for being here, Christina.
Thank you, Christina, for having me in your show. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm going to start with, how can you overcome the overwhelm as a parent? Because there is tons of overwhelm. I mean, I feel like I'm overwhelmed just about 90% of my day. So how do we do that so that we can master our energy?
Actually, what got me into this Refresh Your Mind, because that was in my, you know, traditional corporate job, was me being a parent and always being overwhelmed, especially with my second child being at home. And then you have to do all the, you know, chores around the house and you have to take care of the older one. So the best way, and this is what I've learned through NLP, anti-hypnotherapy practices that I teach to my clients these days and to parents, is to actually, because typically overwhelm comes in or settles in when we think there is so much to do. There's a big, big chunk of items and things that we think we have to do it all. And actually, neuroscience has proved that on average, there are maximum actually 15 to, you know, 17 items that we need to handle at a certain point in time. And that gives us a sense of overwhelm. So the best thing to do is to actually, you know, I know as parents, especially if you have small kids, it might be challenging to take, you know, extra some time for yourself, but maybe you can find some good 5 minutes for yourself and list down what are all these items that you think, you believe that you have to handle all by yourself throughout the day, throughout the week, it doesn't matter. And then what you will notice is as you lay down, you know, this list, things will become clear. So that's the first step, is to really list down and become clear about what are all the things that I need to do. And then you realize as you do that it's much easier and is not that such a huge, gigantic, you know, impossible mission. The second thing is to actually trust a little bit, you know, the other people around you, trust the universe. And out of the 15, you know, maximum 20 items, just decide which are those items that I absolutely need to handle myself. And are there items amongst these that I can delegate to maybe my husband, my friends, my kids, even if they are, you know, elder, they can take care of some stuff around the house. So this is how it works. Get clear on what you have to do. First step, second step, do you really have to handle it all by yourself or can you get some support? And please, please, moms, open yourselves up for support. It's the best thing you can get and invite into your life.
Well, the first thing that you said, write it down. That's so powerful. It's such a powerful thing to do. I don't feel like enough people write down their thoughts and write down their troubles. And it is very, very helpful. So I love that suggestion. And then the second one of delegating tasks. Another thing that I feel parents don't do quite as well as they probably should is delegate those tasks out to their children. If your child is old enough to do laundry, then have them do their own laundry. And if you don't feel like they're not old enough to do laundry, then you are prepping them to learn how to do their own laundry. So I would bring my small child, 2 years old to 8 years old, and they are folding clothes with me. They're separating the whites. They are, you know, and it's little kids love to help now as they get older. The novelty of helping mom kind of wears off. But honestly, if you start young, so many tasks, including laundry, my kids do their own laundry by age eight, literally. By age eight, they're doing their own laundry and they know how because they've done it with me
ever since they were very, very little. So it's not a mystery anymore.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'm going to ask you is, along with delegating tasks, because we want to take some of the things off our plate, it's so hard for moms especially to ask for help. So hard. Now, delegating is a little bit different because we can give tasks to our kids, and I still don't feel like we do that quite well enough, but that's something I think parents can kind of get behind. Asking for help, it's really different. Do you have any suggestions on asking for help?
It is. And that was a tough one for me as well, you know, especially with the parents. And when you have your first child, it's like you are the only one allowed around that child, you and, you know, the father. But actually the child will grow and will benefit the energy of the entire family, of the friends, you know, and being overprotective or thinking that you have to do it all for your child puts too much pressure on you, you know, as a mother. It's your child, indeed. Nobody will take that ever away from you. And in the same time, you will still be your child's mother when you allow him to get into contact or to, you know, get support, interact, you know, see other behaviors like from their grandparents and, you know, uncles or cousins, you know, the more the merrier. I remember from my childhood, my mother, for example, she had like, they were like 11 brothers and sisters. And I just loved visiting my grandparents during the summer and meeting all my cousins there. And it was all one big, you know, nuts house, but that's the energy. That's the thing, you know, when you're a child, you have to be surrounded by many people. And it's the best thing to do is to get support, to get a different view. Sometimes support looks, it's even asking a question. If there's something bothering you, just put it there on Facebook, call a friend, call whoever you want, and just say it. Hey, this is what I'm thinking. It may be a stupid, and there are no such things as stupid questions. There's something bothering me. What do you suggest? How do you see this? And I can guarantee 100% there will always be a fresh perspective that will be very helpful for the mother or for the parent. So I really encourage you to go out and reach out, you know, for answers, for, you know, suggestions. See how others have done it, you know, in your situation. And in the same time, you choose how to handle your particular situation. But please, please, please ask for help.
Overwhelm is just one of the many different emotions that we're trying to control as parents. The other very, very common emotion is anxiety. Oh, anxious.
Tell me about
everything. Anxious that your kid's going to do their homework, that they're going to do things on time, that your teenager is going to come home and be safe. I mean, whole things, anxiety just drives you insane. So what is the fastest and easiest way to overcome anxiety?
I think the first thing, and I was very surprised, you know, when I learned what actually anxiety is, because I see many people, they think that anxiety is like a diagnosis that they have to live up for their entire lives. But actually, anxiety is a fear of the future. So your child does something, they think, and you generalize it and think that your child will, you know, behave that particular way for the rest of their lives. So anxiety is nothing more than a projected fear about the future. You think about the future in an, you know, anxious way. You're anxious that when your child goes out and plays with other children, even he or she may get hurt or something, you know, wrong would happen, or that they may get, you know, I don't know, ill if they go into, you know, and meet other children, or it doesn't matter. The thing is that the easiest way to get rid of anxiety, and I learned this in NLP, is to really, okay, acknowledge it. I have this fear that if my child goes there, or if we do that tomorrow, next week, next month, it will be bad. And in the same time, ask yourself, what is the successful outcome that I want from that event? Is there a successful outcome? Can I make it a good outcome? And as you think of it, as you process that scene in your mind from the future, and you think of it and you change it, you know, in your mind's eye, and you make it about what you want. Okay, you don't want to, you know, your child to display that certain behavior. What do you want your child to do instead, you know, in that situation? So imagining a success-based scenario is what will help you through that particular situation. So it's really because our projections about the future are very much based on our experiences from the past. And if one time we had one bad experience, we think that, well, this is how it's going to be for the rest of our lives in any other similar situation. But the truth is not. You always have a choice with every new situation. So just think of, what do I need to think of so that I make it successful, so that I make it a good, you know, positive outcome for me and for the child and for everyone involved, especially for me, because I can only change and control myself. Okay. So it's really about, you know, processing things in your mind and not just getting stuck with that anxiety and think, oh, okay, can I finish that? Is there any way I can finish that in a successful, positive manner? What would that look like? What will I hear? What will I see? What will I feel when it turns out, you know, positive and successful for, you know, everyone else? And that's very, very powerful. And it's really, you know, operating within your mind, you know, before you go for it. And then you'll surprise yourself seeing that it wasn't that hard. Actually, it did happen the way I thought it would happen. And it's your prophecy that, you know, becomes a reality.
And parenting, it gets so emotional. There's so many feelings that are involved with parenting. And some of that, kids know how to pull it out of you. There are so many triggers that our kids can do to our emotions, and they can learn how to push our buttons and all those things. So why do you think
tell me about it
that this happens? Why do we get triggered by so many emotions so easily with our children?
That got me started and wondering, you know, as a parent, because what I was noticing in myself was that I was replicating whatever my parents were doing and what I did not approve. So, for example, when I was tired and trying to put my kids to bed in the evening, I would say stuff which was 100% I could recognize was 100% my mother's stuff. What she would say to us. Still, I didn't want to say it, and it came out automatically because that was imprinted at the unconscious mind. And what our children do is that they push our buttons. They don't do it consciously, and we have to, as parents, make sure that we don't put the blame, the heavy stuff, on their shoulders. They are there as our projection. They are there to remind us that, hey, there are some wounds, maybe from our childhood, that we need to attend. There are some things that we need to take care of. There are some emotions. And what I found very, very, powerful were techniques that would help you get rid of anger, sadness, fear from your past with techniques such as Steinon therapy or hypnosis. And once you do that, you basically change yourself so much that whatever your child does, even if it's the same thing, it will not trigger you because you have healed that. You would have healed that internally. And it's all about healing. So whenever a child pushes your button, a parent has to take a mental note and say, hey, my child, you have to be grateful for your child because he or she reminds you of stuff that you have to deal with. Children, they're magnificent beings. They're excellent. They're perfect. It's us who perceive them in a certain way, and we perceive them through our filters. If we have wounds from the past, if we have trauma or unresolved stuff from the past, whatever glasses we put on when we look at them, those filters will apply. So you really have to, you know, take off those filters and deal with that negative, you know, emotions from the past. And once you do that, you will see your child in a whole different light. But the main thing here is to really love your child unconditionally and to really appreciate him pushing those buttons. It's the best thing that could happen to you because it reminds you that there is something about you that needs to change, that needs your attention. And to be honest, I thought that, you know, being a parent, I have to educate my kids. I have to teach them this, that. But what I realized since I've been on this journey of self-knowledge, self-discovery and acceptance and self-love was that actually I have to be very grateful to my children because they are the ones that educated me, that taught me a lot of things about myself, about the world. Even in my business, when I want to post something or I want to put up a a photo, an image, and if I ask their opinion, they will give me some brilliant ideas because they are very creative. We are oftentimes stuck in our ways of thinking, but they are so much out of the box, you know, in their thinking, and very creative and very innovative. And we need to start appreciating that more and welcome that in our lives as well.
I couldn't agree more. There is nothing like parenting to bring up all the stuff from your past that you didn't even know bothered you or that you had to deal with.
Absolutely.
Nothing like parenting. And it's that journey. And I think you do, as a more mature veteran parent, do discover that your children, it wasn't intentional that they brought all that stuff back up to the surface, but it's truly a gift that they bring it to the forefront so that you can hopefully look at it.
Absolutely.
Deal with it, work your way through it. And in the end, you learn from your children and become a better person, which is just amazing.
It is.
It's just amazing.
Parenting it is. It's like such that. A big win-win, you know, parent-child relationship, and we grow together. I'm in no way claiming that I'm teaching my kids anything. I think my motto as of now, my mantra is to really love them and be there with them, for them, enjoy life with them. Because that's for me the ultimate purpose of life, enjoying it, right?
And give yourself grace, parents. Everybody has things that they're going to have to deal with, and they're going to come up. And you know what? You can't help but pass some of that stuff back down to your children who will go through the same process. But we have to give ourselves grace. And hopefully you're working through some of those things and you're becoming better. And each generation, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, that each generation is becoming a little bit more self-aware, more self-love, more just a better person all around. And I want to talk a little bit more about that process of processing your emotions in a healthy way when they come up, because as we talk about those emotions, those things that we have to deal with from our past will come up, they surface up, and then you realize, oh my gosh, this was from my childhood. I didn't realize that it really bothered me that my parents did this, or that I felt this way, or that the school did this to me, or friends. It doesn't matter what happened, we all have it, but it's just as important to deal with it in a healthy way and not suppress it, try to ignore it, turn to drugs or alcohol to mask it. So let's go back to some healthy ways real quickly. What kind of tips can you give the audience?
You know, I was, you know, educated, and many people were led to believe that negative emotions are really a negative thing. They are negative emotions because they give you some discomfort, higher or, you know, different levels of discomfort. But the truth is that the biggest growth and the biggest learnings you get from your negative emotions and negative states, because they are like someone knocking on your door, something that requires your attention so that you look through them. The first instinct that we have, and it's our ego who does that, is that if you feel fear of whatever that is, you reject it as much as you can. You resist it. And as you know, what you resist persists. So there are many techniques out there to deal with your negative emotions. Some of the most powerful ones are those, and that I have experienced personally, are related to hypnosis and timeline therapy that can help you let go of your negative emotions from your entire past, your entire life. So you give a complete reboot of your neurology and system. And in the same time, when something negative comes up, stop rejecting it. Stop just shoving it, you know, under the mat or anything. Just accept it. Acknowledge how you feel in the moment. Okay, so now I feel angry. Now I feel this. Now I feel it. Just accept it, acknowledge it, and just watch it as you accept it, as you embrace it. Just sit with it for a while. What's the worst that can happen? And then as you do that, it will naturally, you know, change within you, and it will turn out into something else. And just by paying attention and being aware of yourself, because we have so much beauty and so many resources inbuilt in us. You know, we don't need to learn, you know, a gazillion techniques to apply them. There are people that learn many techniques and still don't apply them. It's about really paying attention to yourself, really being curious about yourself. I'm angry. Okay, I acknowledge that. Anything that makes me angry, anything that triggers that, why is that? And just sit with it for a while, and then you will watch it as it will transform into something else. And every single time, a negative emotion, it's like this side of the coin, but on the other side, it has a lot of learnings and new information and new perspectives about yourself, about your life, about everything, and it will shift completely the situation for you. Another very, very important thing is like for you to become your own observer. Because oftentimes we get overwhelmed by the emotion. Look how sad I am. And then the sadder you go, the bigger the drama. But then just imagine you are your own observer. Just notice yourself, you know, and watch that process. And the more you do that with a from a place of detachment, the greater the learnings that you will get from that process. So I think life after you're 30 or 40 really becomes a process of self-discovery and self-knowledge. And this is why, you know, many people, they go through what's, you know, traditionally known as a midlife crisis, but actually there are very unique opportunities in our lives to actually turn inwards and get to know ourselves better and to really allow ourselves to feel, to be present in our bodies and be aware of what we feel, what we think.
It was a pleasure having you on today, Christina, and such an important subject about dealing with our own emotions, because I think as parents, we focus on our kids' emotions all the time. We're trying to set out fires and making sure that they're okay, but really it does start with us too. We are just as important human beings as our children. So I'm glad that we had an opportunity to talk. And if you want to become a more impactful parent, check out all what my website has to offer. I have parenting courses, family coaching, 30-day challenges, and lots of free resources for you and your school-age child. But until next time, you got this, parents. I am just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.